This week, on the first ever episode of The Crankcast, reaction to Eric Larson's column about creating comics. Carla Speed McNeil's finder goes online. Mike lectures a class. And the comic book Hackslash gets its own play. Also featuring music by the Vladimirs. And now, Crank and Mike.
All right.
It's live.
So when do you start?
Well, see, like right about here, this would be the intro where we're talking about what we're going to be talking about today.
Live from New York, it's right. Crank!
Which in this case would be Carla Speed McNeil's announcement, which it's about her book Finder, and we're not going to talk about it anymore because it's old news.
Yeah, I know. You got this long list of stuff, and we can't use any of it.
Let's see.
Because it's old news now.
Larson's great column on CBR, which is a great column, because basically he's calling everybody that is a big-name artist, writer, whatever, that doesn't do their own book a big pussy.
And right.
That fucking rocks. I mean, it's stupid at the same time, but it still rocks, because it's just hilarious.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean, he calls it how it is on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, well, a lot of it's...
Well, I tell you what, it made me sit there and think about, maybe I should start drawing something of my own, but I've done it before. I forgot it. Somebody else pointed that out. So I was like, oh, I'm off the hook.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, you've done it. I mean, half the people we know have done their own stuff before they ever got any kind of major work.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, I think the people he's talking about are the people that are, like, getting... without slinging anybody's names or anything, but he's, you know, the people are the proteges of other people that are already big that never did a goddamn thing in their life, and all of a sudden they're just these big names because Wizard says they are.
No, I would agree with
and
you.
And they're not doing anything else, you know, and all they're doing is just getting a paycheck and drawing a book, which, you know, even that's not a bad thing because the industry, shit, what the hell was that, you know, 40 years ago?
Well, no, I don't think, you know, he obviously wasn't putting anybody down who... who makes their living drawing comic books. I mean, because he used to do it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he obviously had his eye on doing his own thing, too. But it's, yeah, people that just do that and don't, I mean, I have to be honest and say that I really like drawing Spider-Man right now. And if I had to do nothing but draw Spider-Man for a long time, I wouldn't be unhappy.
Right.
But, I mean... Yeah, when you have to sit back and think about what your contribution to comics is, what he was talking about, and you sit back and you're like, oh, I drew somebody else's character for about 20 years. Nobody knows who I am, or which, did I really do anything?
You know, I mean, and there's a point where that does get ridiculous to call that unacceptable, though, or whatever. I mean, just because, I mean, some of our genres, defining moments were by people who were just writing somebody else's character.
That's true.
You know, I mean, look at any of the Batman. Any of the big things that have happened with Batman, which a lot of those have then spilled over and affected how other people do stuff with their books.
Right.
Where, I mean, it's other people writing Batman. It's not, you know.
Like, who do you think of when you think of Batman?
Well, I think of Frank Miller.
See? Well, that's a perfect example, though.
And Frank, I mean, granted, Frank Miller, I mean, he's done his own stuff. He went right from that.
He's done tons of his own stuff. I mean, right. Sin City is Frank Miller.
Well, exactly. And then going into, I mean, just right after Batman, he went into Ronin.
Yes.
Which was,
that's his own thing, too.
A lot of people maybe not like it, but I think it's a great series.
It was
a
good series. I didn't understand it when I bought it the first time, but I was a little kid.
But, you know, and so he did follow, you know, so I guess he is following Larson's example, so I should just shut up because Larson's right. And anyway.
Well, you liked it. You wanted to bring it up. I thought, I mean, it was a good column.
Yeah, exactly. And we weren't going to talk about it, so.
Yeah, for somebody who said, hey, we're not going to talk about this because it's old news. We just spent a little time on it, didn't we?
Yeah. Makes me think I should go back and talk about Carla Speed McNeil's finer announcement again. Which,
well, you were telling me how excited you were about that, and I didn't even know you ever read it.
That's the funny thing. I don't know anything about the damn series. It's my point was is that this is a name creator.
Yeah.
Like somebody, and she's not even breaking ground here. Things are being published straight to the web all the time and then getting collected. PvP was a good example,
right.
Which I personally can't stand that book. It never made any sense to me, but it sold huge for a while, you know, and it had a huge online audience that followed it in a print, which...
Right.
She's
doing the opposite.
Doing the opposite, but at the same time, she knows that if she's garnering an audience and on, you know, presenting it on the web and
yeah,
you know, doing it that way, then hopefully that will carry over into the trades. Skipping doing all the singles, skipping all the printing hassles, skipping all the, you know, just the dumb crap you got to put up with when you have to put out a monthly book,
right? Which is
to a press,
yeah, that's the whole point of it.
And
it's smart.
to me, somebody that's a name that's got a book that's, you know, gotten awards, it's people love it, it's critically acclaimed.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody like that making this move and publicly stating that they're making this move.
Rather than Joe Schmo web cartoonist is what you're saying.
Right.
That's what you were meaning. Because I didn't understand why you were so excited about that.
Right. This makes it a big deal.
Okay.
Not in its innovation, but in the fact that somebody is making a public stride to change the way our business model works in this industry.
Well, I think you're probably right on that.
Because, I mean, if you can get away with that, you know, if she can get away with that, then that means that, you know, somebody who's not as well-known can get away with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that opens it up for everybody that's just, you know, hacking around in their own but can't afford to send it out to a press right now.
Yeah, I think it's... You've never read Finder?
Mm-mm.
It's a good book. It's really cool.
I should probably...
I stopped reading it after a couple of trades ago. I think I got to... King of Cats or something like that. I forget what the name of it was, but I stopped after that. But it's really, I mean, the art is really good. The story actually becomes pretty complex. So if you don't keep up with it, it gets, it's like a lot of people complain about Lost. If you come in like four episodes in, you don't know what's going on.
Right.
That's what Finder is to me. I picked up a couple of issues of it further on down the line from where I left off, and I didn't know what was going on.
See, now, that appeals to a lot of people. For me, it's kind of not really a good incentive to get into a book, just because I did the same thing with 100 Bullets, which I've read two issues of, didn't understand what the hell was going on, never picked it back up.
Did you like pick up like 20, issue 20 or something
I
like
picked
that?
It up on like somewhere... Yes,
yeah,
way
you,
into
you
it.
You can't know? Do that with 100 Bullets.
And I read it. Well, somebody had handed it to me. We were on a plane, and I was like, just looking for something to read.
Was it Josh?
Yeah, it was back in San Diego a couple
bullets.
Years.
Yeah,
so it was probably 20 something, maybe.
You have to buy. I've got all the trades. You should read them. Sean likes them.
I keep meaning to maybe like BitTorrent it or something. And
no,
check it out.
You're not going to BitTorrent a comic book.
Yeah, okay.
That's the most ridiculous thing.
What's
I can't believe you do
doing
that.
That and borrowing it from you.
Well, for one thing, I mean, you're kind of stealing it.
Who am I stealing it from? I'm just reading it.
As a comics professional, I do not condone the downloading of comic books.
And
I don't
that's
believe
our public announcement.
Yeah,
for
exactly.
The
there you go.
I don't know. I mean, that is actually another discussion entirely.
Yeah,
that would take a good chunk of a show.
I guess. I don't know enough about it to...
Just to throw this out there, to counter your vehemence against this, there are legitimate uses for that. There are... The fact that I was able to archive, like, you know, 20 years of
EC
Comics or something, you know?
I get the arguments, because the same arguments are made for, like, music and movies and stuff, too. I just don't... I mean... It's one of those things where you can argue all day about it and still not have an answer that...
Well, the biggest difference here, though, is a lot of this stuff is on the secondary market. Now, that may be a big deal to retailers, but as far as to the copyright holders and stuff, at this point, unless they're going to reprint it, it's dead material.
I guess, but I don't think any of those big companies think of stuff as... Well, I guess they do think of it as dead material, but if they think that there's a possibility that they can make some money off of it, they're not going to let it go as... I don't know. I don't know enough about this subject to talk about. I don't know. What do you have next? I mean, this is our first ever podcast, and we didn't even introduce ourselves.
Oh, right. Jeez.
So who are we, Chris? What are we doing here, Chris?
Well, I don't know exactly. This is our first show,
yes.
So indulge us a second while we just talk about ourselves. And exactly. Basically, I guess I've been a little just restless and, you know, kind of didn't really know what the hell was going on lately. Got a little bored.
This is getting very introspective all of a sudden. We went from these serious subjects to, I was feeling restless. Was sitting alone one night all in a cold sweat and decided,
I didn't say that.
What am I going to do with the rest of my life?
At least I didn't say that.
And then
the
red bat phone at my house rings and it's Chris Crank. Mike, what am I going to do with the rest of my life?
Well, sort of like that. No, I think I was just explaining this to Mike and then I was drinking at the time, and we were...
When are you not drinking?
Chatting over I am. And, let it go. Just let it go. And, oh, yeah, so we were chatting over I am, and I was explaining this to Mike, and Mike's all into podcasts right now. Mike will go on and on about how many things he listens to.
Way of the future.
Right. And so he said, well, hell, why don't we launch one? This was about 2.5 weeks ago.
Yeah, it wasn't very long ago.
Maybe three times.
Long enough for the Carlos Speed McNeil story to be pretty old news. Mm.
So, basically for me, this has just been an exercise. I'm trying to see... I basically built up a website from scratch and figured out how to RSS, and we're still not quite figuring out how to do it.
So you're just learning how to do things. This is all this is to you.
Yeah.
It's not really the chance to talk to your friend Mike... On a weekly basis.
Do you remember when we used to talk?
Yes, exactly.
Mike and I used to sit in adjacent cubes, and we'd yell at each other.
We were the only people in that one back room at Devil's Due at the beginning.
Yeah.
We were the only ones, and anybody that came in were trespassers.
We'd shut the door quite
and you
often.
You would play your metal music. Mm-hmm. And what was that Camelot soundtrack you'd play? It was a steady stream of heavy metal and show tunes. I don't know what that means.
I'd occasionally bust out the I'm a modern Marvel, modern general.
What is up with that? I still want to know what's up with that.
I
have my suspicions about you, Mr. Crank.
I still do it.
Still listen to the...
Sound of Music.
Oh, my God.
Camelot.
Oh, jeez.
At least I'm not sitting here listening
to it. You go from Dio to Sound of Music.
Is that such a stretch?
Yeah. Well, yeah, sort of. You break your neck with the whiplash on that.
I mean, at least I'm not sitting there playing the soundtrack to Nightmare Before Christmas over and over.
I was not doing that.
No, I'm just saying. At least I don't do that. Okay. Most people at least will pull out the musicals are going to be playing that over and over.
I guess so.
You know.
I don't know. I knew you used to know a lot of theater people that would... constantly sing Rent all the time.
I won't go that far.
No.
Rent.
Yeah, I've never even heard it, but I knew it was Rent because they would tell me, and then they would sing it, and I'd tell them to stop.
Oh, as to who we are.
Yes.
My name's Crank. I work for Devil's Due. I'm basically a tech monkey. I get the occasional odd, neat thing. I get to do a cover here and there.
You're so much more than a tech monkey. What is your official title? Are you web developer?
I don't know. I'd have to get out a business card.
I think you're web developer.
It changes every time we get new ones.
But you're an artist, too. You did covers for Hackslash.
Yeah. I occasionally get to do a cover. I get to do some design here and there. I get to fix things. I get to do some really great, great Photoshop fix jobs on a couple covers.
For what?
Oh, do you remember that? Should I talk about
it? Why not?
They're really old anyway. But like when we had to fix Scarlet on that Frontline story?
Oh, maybe we shouldn't talk about that. What was that? Who did that? That was Tony Harris.
That was the Icebound Arc. I think
yeah,
that was
it was
a
Tony
Harris
cover. Yeah.
And it wasn't that Harris's was, you know, drawing badly or anything.
Not at
like
all.
That.
No, not
it
at all.
It just didn't look like her.
That was not what Hasbro wanted. Hasbro had gave us orders to do it. I remember that completely. They had they said because they didn't like it when we made the adjustments too, and we had to go in and fix that. So,
I just remember having
the troubles of working with a licensed property.
They thought she looked soccer mommy. I think
that's the exact term that they used. Actually, I think
so. We had to go in, and I had to do this crazy, crazy amount of Photoshop fix up on this, where I had to take in her waist, take in her hips.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it was because he was going for that extreme angle, that fisheye sort of camera angle.
No, it looked really cool.
And
it actually ended up looking really cool, too.
It looked fine. I mean, as far as I could tell, it didn't look too badly like I mutilated it or
yeah,
anything.
He colored it and everything, too, right?
Yeah, so I had to go
He's
in
really
after
cool.
it was all done.
Yeah, it's really good.
It was but, you know, occasionally I get to do fun things
so
like that.
So you do so much more than just build websites.
Yeah, occasionally. And Mike can talk for himself.
My name's Mike, and I just draw comics. That's all I do. I used to design websites, but I don't do that anymore. I used to design websites. I used to make ads. I used to design all kinds of stuff. I was the art director for Devil's Due.
For a few years?
For almost from the beginning. He was only publishing for a couple of months until I came on board, just because... One man cannot do all of that stuff.
Yeah, you came on, I think, in issue 4 or 5.
It was like five that I started because I did. I remember that Steve Kurth cover.
And at that point, you were still down in Tennessee, I think.
Yeah, I was in Memphis. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. Now here in lovely Northside Chicago at the Crank Compound.
In Ravenswood.
In Ravenswood, yes.
Yes. And, yeah, because I remember you coming on, and first thing you did was you changed the way we did the numbers and indicia stuff at the top.
Well,
because they weren't standard before that.
Well, right. Well, the first thing any graphic designer will tell you is that you have to have some sort of branding or steady method of doing stuff, and there was nothing like that before. So,
nah, we were just putting numbers wherever we felt like it.
I brought format to Devil's Due.
Mike
and completely screwed it up over the years too. I did that.
You were also responsible for actually the complete redesign of our logo and branding, for that matter.
Oh yeah, that's right. I redesigned the logo. I redesigned a lot of this stuff.
When we got nice and sporty and sleek and designy looking.
Yes, we came into the 21st century, Devil's Due, which I'm no longer part of.
Well, you know, now we've got a gentleman named Evan Salt, who
Evan.
Yeah.
From Fantagraphics.
Yeah, he worked with Fantagraphics. A long time ago, he drummed in a band called Harvey Danger.
Yeah, and I think I was the only one that recognized that band name when
I recognized the name when you said it. It was just funny when you came out of the interview and you're like, he was in Harvey Danger. I'm like, what?
And everybody thought I was kidding. I was in the interview. I was like, you know what? I have you on my iTunes right now.
Immediately in my head, I'm sitting there going, like, how did he even bring that up in the interview?
I think it was
did he slip it in? Like, oh, by the way, I was in Harvey Danger.
He did a lot of music posters and things, like lots of nice silk screened design stuff. And since I was in a band before too, I just brought that up, and he said, yeah, I was in this band in Seattle, and we played around, we had a record deal and stuff like that. And I was like, really? He said, yeah, you might have heard him. It's Harvey Danger. I'm like, you're kidding me.
Yeah. I think he has a bad week whenever that plays in the office.
Seriously, you guys play that while he's in there?
Sean finally did. Sean finally did, and he had a bad week the rest of the week. So I think
Do people make fun of him, or what is it?
No. What wound up happening was everybody kept singing it the rest of the day because it gets stuck in your head.
Yeah, that's true.
That whole the chorus and the paranoia bit and all that jazz. And
I don't know.
He just sat there. He took it like a trooper. I mean, he's got to have heard it a million times.
Yeah, he's had to play it a million times.
I'm just saying, he's got to have heard people talk, like, oh, yeah. But
he's in a new band.
Yeah, he's in a band called Bound Stems.
We're going to play on this show, actually. Not today, but...
Soon. Next show, probably.
Yeah.
They've got a new album coming out. An EP, actually, coming out from... I don't remember. I'll tell you about it
next time. Signed yet?
Sort of. Oh, Flame Shovel. That's the name of the label. They're
Flame Shovel. Is that here in Chicago?
I don't know. I will find out more later.
Cool.
But they are... they got this EP coming out, and they're signed with this Flame Shovel for that. From what I understand, they got some interest from some other labels, and they're trying to pursue that, too. So,
well, since we've introduced each other, and we're talking about music, we should probably play our first song, then.
Okay. This one's a track called... what is this called?
I don't know.
College Radio. Oh, it's called Scarred Heart. It's by the Vladimirs. It was off of an album called The Odds Are Against Us. It came out earlier this year, actually, so we'll cut to that. Cool.
Self-disillusion, all specials in a violent mood. Shotguns in the heat of the moment. ourselves the disgrace of the world. Can we really take the answers? We'll never understand what we've been through. We'll learn, we'll turn, then burn, and then disappear without knowing the truth. But God, it's love never is true.
We're back.
That was the Vladimirs, huh?
Yeah.
And you know those guys?
Yeah, they're good friends of mine. I actually grew up with, well, I grew up with half of them. One of them I grew up, I've known Brian.
Were you ever in bands with them? You were never in the Vladimirs, but have you been in bands with the Vladimirs?
Me and Brian, actually my very first band ever when I first started playing was me and Brian from the Vladimirs. We were like, shit, I was like 11 or something, 11 or 12.
And gotcha.
I saved up my money all summer to buy a bass, and because he had gotten a guitar. And
so you started out on bass then?
Yeah, well, not by choice, but...
You wanted to be a guitar guy?
Actually, I wanted to play drums. I really wanted to play drums.
Oh, so that would explain this big Def Leppard electronic drum set I'm sitting next to here in the Crank compound.
Yeah, I guess I finally realized my wish. no, I started out, I wanted to play drums. My parents wouldn't let me have the drum kit because drum kits are really loud.
Right.
And then I was like, okay, well, I'll play keyboards. That sounds cool, you know.
and when was this? What year was this?
1986, 7?
That's right about the time that playing keyboard was not cool anymore.
Well, yeah. 11, hello. I liked keyboards.
It was right about the time that if you had a keyboard in your band, you were not cool.
I was listening to a lot of Rush. I mean...
Well, yeah, but you know. Nobody else was at that time.
Sure they were. Anyway, but what that boiled down to was I couldn't afford to get a keyboard, and then Brian would just put it to me baldly that, you know, we really need a bass player.
It's like, you need to stop playing the keyboard. We need a bass player now.
And I'm like, all right. So I saved up my money. We rode our bikes up to we had a local music chain called Buddy Rogers. I grew up in...
Buddy Rogers?
Yeah. I grew up just north of Cincinnati, and it's a music chain around there.
Okay.
And they...
Buddy Rogers.
I bought this this Harmony for they wanted like Harmony. $90. I told them all I had was like 78, so they gave it to me. And
Harmony.
They probably still got the deal.
I remember Harmony.
Yeah, Harmony were like the low budget specials.
Yeah, you could get them in the JCPenney's and the Sears
and the, all
not
that.
Anymore. Now they got that really nice stuff in there.
Yeah,
not that hard. Sorry, Harmony.
I don't even think Harmony's making anything anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think they're out, but. This actually turned out, I mean, it lasted me a lot of years, and, you know, for being a Harmony, it played really well and sounded okay.
So right.
I guess I got
Is that the one you still have?
That's a beat up one.
That's not the one I insulted and you got upset about.
No, that's my PV.
I was playing Chris Crank's bass one time. I think he let me borrow it so that I could practice for the band I was in. And I came in, and I said that it sucked, and you got really ornery with me.
Well, my point about that was, you borrowed something from somebody, and then told them how bad it sucked.
I do that with you all the time.
What?
I was just doing that today with that hard drive.
Right. I'm like, what? It's not even my fault. What the hell? I can't help you beat
built,
stuff up.
You built this substandard equipment for me, Crank. Crank is a genius with computer stuff, by the way. If you ever want a computer built for you, just email crankcast@gmail.com.
Ain't gonna happen.
And Crank will build you a computer. He loves doing it. Just ask him.
Yeah. Oh, good. You managed to slip the email address in there.
Yes. Yes. Our email is crankcast@gmail.com. In case anybody wants to email us and tell us to stop.
Yeah. Anyway. Or what? Oh, so I'm just going to wrap up that whole Vladimir thing by saying that, yeah, I pretty much grew up most of my life with Brian. Another guy in the band, Doug, I've known since I was probably like 14, 13.
Yeah. And they're really good. I remember seeing them at, what is it, the Underground here?
Yeah, I think that was the name of the place.
And they're just really good. It's kind of like, they call it, it's sort of like a punk rockabilly kind of.
I guess if you're going to lump it into something, it's sort of horror punk.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but yeah.
There's Misfits. Kind of
it sounds very much like that sort of thing. But it's really good. I really like it a lot.
The weird thing is they all came from like rock bands, metal bands, like really technical stuff.
Right.
And they started doing this just for fun.
Yeah.
Because it was like a throwback to playing like Ramones songs. And, you know, you get drunk and play in the basement or you know, whatever. And
well, that's what the people want to hear.
And well, you know, it turned out people liked it when they started playing shows.
So I really like it.
Went from there.
And when he does go into a guitar solo, you can tell that the guy knows how to play those really technical kind of heavy metal things, but he just doesn't do it a whole lot. It's pretty wild to watch him do that because he doesn't look like somebody that's going to start shredding. Mm. All of a sudden, he just burns out.
It's really weird. Like if you go from listening to that to. He records a lot of solo stuff on his own.
Yeah.
And
can we have some of that to play?
Yeah, actually, I could probably get it from him.
Cool.
But it's this weird, just real technical instrumental stuff, you know?
You never know, man.
And it's really cool. I mean, you know, I love those guys. They're great, and I'm glad that, you know, they got signed to a new label recently.
So can we play their stuff anymore?
Yeah, we can still play it.
Okay,
cool. It's cool. It's all good. All
right.
I mean, so, yeah. Vladimir's, go.
Yay, right, Vladimir's. Moving on.
Mike just recently got back from a trip to Minneapolis.
I did.
Right, where he was doing a seminar, lecture. Tell us about it.
It was a lecture. It's really weird to think of it, but yeah, it was a lecture. And for like 3 weeks beforehand, I was going back and forth with Barb Schultz, who is the professor up there, who asked me to come up and talk about what the hell am I supposed to talk about? Because I've never... I mean, it's funny to say now that I'm recording like a radio thing, but I never really talked in front of people before. What was that feedback? Is this your cell phone?
It's my cell phone.
I've heard that happened.
Yeah, it picks up on the wires. It might not even pick up in the recording, but...
But, yeah, I went up to Minneapolis to give a lecture and to talk to students about drawing comic books.
Which I think I interrupted you in the middle of? No, towards the end of. Just after?
Yeah, for the promo that nobody can hear.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if anybody who's listening to this show has actually listened to our test promo where we were getting the hang of recording stuff, but Crank called me on his cell phone, and I sound like somebody drowning underwater.
The major things that accomplished were verifying my RSS feed and figuring out that we can't do these things over the phone.
Yes, exactly. Well, it also... kind of embarrassed me while I'm standing here in a class full of people.
I caught him laughing in the background.
Yeah, I know, because I was talking to you while I was talking to a class full of people.
So what did you talk about up there?
Just about what I do, how I got into the business, and how I technical stuff, like how I compose a page and covers and things like that, visual storytelling, things like that. It was, I mean, very technical. Which is, I can talk about that kind of stuff. I'm just not much of a showman as far as, they're not going to be any fireworks during my presentation. But it was really nice. Everybody was up there was great. It was a big, actually, kind of lecture hall, and it was filled. I mean, there were a lot of people in there. I was really nervous about it.
Now, this is an actual program for comic books?
Yeah, they have a comic book I don't know if it's a major, but there's it's actually a field of study at that the Minneapolis College of Art. Yeah, it's crazy. I wish I had been able to do that when I was going through school. I did kind of self-teach myself.
Does it focus mainly on the? Does it sort of encompass everything, or is it just the art aspects? Is it
no? I think they do. I don't know if they do writing. I didn't ask Barb that, but. She's got a pretty cool program up there. I mean, it's her, and I met Terry Beatty. Terry Beatty, the inker for Batman Strikes right now for DC. Yeah, actually, he's done tons of stuff.
He's been around forever.
Forever. I mean, yeah. Miss Tree he did for Eclipse, I think, was the company. He's done tons of stuff, but he teaches up there. Ryan Kelly, who's doing demo with Brian Wood. He teaches up there. I didn't know that. I went up there and I saw his stuff all over the place. I'm like, because I have a demo button on my bag, actually. And I was like, you guys just really like Ryan Kelly up here? He's like, no, he teaches up here. It's like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Oh.
But he wasn't there when I was there, so I didn't get to meet him. But it was really cool. I really appreciated them asking me to come up there, I felt important for a couple of days.
Cool. What is the next subject?
Hack slash. I don't know. You got tons of stuff.
Hack slash.
Hack slash.
All right.
I'm drawing some hack slash now.
Oh, that's right. He's going to be doing that book of trailers, which I don't get, but...
I didn't get it at first, but I think...
I'm like, all right, well,
he
whatever.
Had to talk me into it, but I think it's going to be kind of cool. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be really hard, because the script I have is... There's a lot packed into the pages that I have to do, but...
All right, well, let's rewind a minute and give it a little,
yeah, whatever.
Little history on this.
Yeah, Hackslash.
Hackslash, Tim and I, or Mike and I both worked with a gentleman named Tim Seeley, who is a staff artist at Devil's Due. Tim, years ago, did a book called Love Bunny and Mr. Hell, which was the first thing he published through us. And
Explain who Devil's Due is?
Devil's Due Publishing, okay, we'll go back even further. Mike and I both worked for a company called Devil's Due Publishing. It started out late 90s.
You don't have to go back that far. It's just a comic book company. They do G.I. Joe and Dungeons and Dragons.
Right.
How about that?
Okay, there you go. Right. We're, somewhere below Image, but above, say, I don't know.
Oni.
Are we above Oni?
Yeah.
I thought Oni had more.
They have more titles, but I think Devil's Due has more market share, which is kind of weird. I always thought it would be the other way around, too.
Okay, so anyway, we're in that range. Just small publisher. Mm-hmm. But Tim Seeley, after doing Love Bunny and being a staff artist for a while, got restless and decided to do this book called Hack Slash, which is basically sort of a send-up of 80s slasher movies. The Halloweens, the My Bloody Valentine, the...
Right.
Whatever, you know.
You know what? I don't want to get off topic or anything, but I might use this as a... opportunity to talk about how Hack Slash was actually born out of an idea that me and Tim talked about, where I wanted to do a graphic novel for Oni, and I said, let's do a teen sex comedy, and he went with that idea and turned it into, he really got into the whole 80s teen sex comedy kind of movie thing, and he started going back and watching, and he started watching all these horror movies, and he turned that idea into something with horror movies, and that turned into Hack Slash, and I was like, oh man, now what are we going to do? And he's like, yeah, I know, but it's an infinitely better idea the way he's doing it.
Well, the way
I came up with Hack Slash. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's like, we were talking about doing something else, and then he goes and he turns it into, it's like really weird how the creative process happens.
I remember when you guys were coming up with that. We were walking to a Greek place for lunch.
Well, he came up with it. I had nothing to do with it.
Well,
we
guys,
were just
well,
talking
when
about
you guys were talking
something
about the
else.
Details.
Yeah.
And basically, the way you guys were talking about it was some weird, just kind of like road trip.
Yeah, I just wanted to do a road trip thing.
Where it got embroiled
kids.
With a murder.
Yeah,
guy
murder.
And
yeah,
stuff
he wanted to bring the murder aspect in. I didn't even think about the murder. And so then he goes off and he talks about Hack Slash. He brings up Hack Slash, which is so much a better idea anyway. So
Hack Slash is basically about this girl named Cassie Hack, whose mother was a mass murderer, and then she was killed, returned from the dead, and then she had to kill her, which thus kind of bred in her this thing to go out and kill other slashers.
Yeah, it's basically a send-up of the genre of slasher movies from the 80s, where not just a killer, but more of like a supernatural, like Freddy or Jason. They're right. Not normal guys that come at you with a butcher knife. They have some sort of, they can't be killed or
right. This
they're
isn't
brought
like psycho.
Back to
this
life.
Is some sort of weird undead. Like
they're
some
mostly,
sort of
yeah.
Like supernatural.
So,
kind of thing.
I mean, which is kind of cool. Tim's kind of given a name and a brand to this kind of killer that only appeared in these movies in the 80s. Like this person that's usually killed in a horrible way and comes back for revenge, the slasher. And so he's created this comic book where this woman is hunting down these slashers because her mother was one.
Right.
It's a great idea.
She got this crazy giant partner that's like, she thought he was a slasher because he's sort of malformed, I guess.
He looks like a slasher, but he's not a slasher.
He's like this big, just kind of big teddy bear guy that's really nice. He eventually, after a couple of books of this coming out, this company called New Millennium Theater... New Millennium Theater.
Yep.
They approached him about... Well, actually, initially they approached him because Devil's Due was publishing Dynamic Forces comic called Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
And New Millennium had done an Army of Darkness, of course, is based on the movie Army of Darkness.
Yep.
New Millennium had done a musical of Army of Darkness.
Called Boomstick?
Boomstick, yeah.
Boomstick the musical.
And it was just sort of a comedy of a comedy.
Yeah.
Song.
I never
loud.
Saw it. Did you ever see it?
I never got to see it. No. Yeah. But
Tim says it was great, though.
They since they had a guy that was dressed as Ash, anyway, Ash mm-hmm. being the main character from that, they had contacted Tim about sending a guy out to go to the cons, or go to the local con, Chicago. And then the director, Chad, started talking to Tim, and Hackslash got brought up, and Chad was like, well, that'd be great. We'll go ahead and do that.
We really did turn this into the unabridged version.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway.
It doesn't matter. I mean...
We'll edit it in post.
No, we don't have to. But, I mean, we're just saying he... Anyway, they decided to make a play.
So, yeah, they decided to make a play. Long, long, long story, a little less long, is that it launched three weekends ago.
Yeah. Actually, I think it was only two weekends ago.
Okay. It launched 2 weeks ago, and...
Because we were still talking about doing the podcast at the first one.
Where's it currently playing at now?
It's playing at the National Pastime Theater. 4139 North Broadway in Chicago, Illinois, between Irving Park and Montrose.
And I believe it's running Fridays and Saturdays, or Fridays through Sundays?
Fridays and Saturdays at 10:30 p.m. from September 23rd to October 29th.
And we were there for the opening night.
We were.
Which was hilarious.
And very hot.
And very hot.
Because there's no air conditioning.
Two things to caution you. Well, that might actually be better now that it's getting cooler.
But yeah, that's
the other thing to caution you against is that the first row of seats are called the blood seats. And that's because, much like a Gallagher show, you wind up getting soaked and stuff.
I was going to say, it's like a Gallagher show.
Yeah, they use a lot of fake blood. There's pyrotechnics in it. Stuff catches on fire.
That's true.
There's a gun fired at one point that's very loud.
Yes, it is.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, I got to see it one time prior to that in a dry run, which was just...
Was that at the horror convention?
No, that was just before that, where they do their practicing at.
Oh, okay.
They, or rehearsals, that's it.
Yeah.
It was just basically like 5 people were the audience.
Right.
And this place was so smashed into it that they just skipped on the blood at all because they knew it would soak everything. And also, like... When there are parts of the scenes where the actors come up and sort of at the edge of what the stage would be.
Right.
And we were so scrunched together that at one point, like, their Vlad was in my face. So, which was, it was a little weird.
That is kind of weird.
But getting to see it from a seat and set back and a little up.
It was really cool just because, I mean, I've read the books. I've seen Tim drawing it. I've heard him talking about it. I've been so familiar with the stories to see somebody else interpret it. Was so strange. And plus, I don't think I've ever seen any movie or book or TV show stay as faithful to the source material
as this
play.
A lot of it is straight lifted from it.
It's so strange.
Isn't saying, not lifted in a bad way. I mean, it's lifted like,
yeah,
wow, they actually were able to do this the way it was written. Yeah.
I mean, and sometimes it's not a good thing because there are so many transitions in it and it's a play.
Right.
So in between, like, basically every scene they have to change all the stuff around. That got a little tiring, but that's the only thing that was wrong with it. I mean, it's like, it's so funny. It's just like the comic book.
The other weird thing was they introduced the blood mopper.
The blood mopper, yeah.
Which is this guy that comes out in a monk's hood and wipes out the blood so that the actors don't slip.
And he dances to a little song while he's mopping
and he dances.
Blood.
The weird thing is and apparently this is carried over from what I understand from Tim, is that he's becoming... Quickly,
he's like the star of
part of the show.
It's the star. It's going to be Blood Mopper starring Hackslash.
Exactly. And that's so strange because, I mean, it's funny the first time, but after you see it, like, by the third time, you're just sort of like...
Yeah, after a while, it got kind of tiring.
But, it's a necessity, and they have to put it in there. At least they made it entertaining.
It's true. I mean, it was good. It got a good review in the Chicago Reader, which is the local free paper here.
It also got a... was that also in the Reader? No, in the Red Eye, it got a Best Pick.
Seriously, I did not know that. That's really cool.
I've got it up there. I saved it somewhere.
Wow.
But that was the week that it was opening. So I got a Best Pick there. They seem to be getting good turnouts.
That's really cool.
It's really neat to see something like this come about,
Yeah, I really liked it. I mean, I forgot what Tim said about it, but it's just I don't know. It's so stupid in a good way that I loved watching.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm getting to draw it. So I told him when I saw it, I was really excited to actually go draw it now because I haven't had a chance to do those characters.
Back up to the beginning of this conversation. The thing Mike's working on is there's a new Hack Slash book coming out, which Hack Slash has done, 348 pagers. There's a new trade out in stores right now, actually, that collects the first three.
I think all of them, yeah.
Well, it doesn't, up to the fourth, which was Evil Ernie.
It doesn't have Evil Ernie in it?
No, the Evil Ernie wasn't in it. That was a crossover between Hack Slash and Evil Ernie to kind of introduce Evil Ernie back in, because Nivel's Dew is now publishing Chaos as well.
Mm.
And then right now, Hack Slash is in the middle of a miniseries. It's first time it's actually been in a miniseries, yep. Which is kind of neat. It's got some stuff in it, like the origin of Vlad and stuff like that. Frankly, I like reading these as 48-pagers better.
Do you?
The stretching it out over the 3 months thing is...
Well, they're just really trying to test and see if it would work as a miniseries, right?
I think they're trying to see if, like, having it be a little more regular.
Yeah.
Because previously
people
it was published,
want
like,
it to be regular. I mean, they constantly are getting fan mail about people wanting it to come out on a regular basis. And I can't blame them because, it's a good book. If it were coming out regularly, it'd be a really popular title.
I would... To me, I'd rather have a 48-pager every, two or three months than have... was self-contained.
I could see that.
Than to have it be, a strung-out thing, because I think it works better... It works more like a TV show if it's a 48-pager.
Right.
Where you get your episode, and your episode's contained, it's right there.
Right.
You know, you're not stretching it out to... I agree. Tune in again.
I agree.
But either way, we'll see how this works out. With luck, maybe I'll be made happy and I'll go back to 48 pagers. No, I wish it all the
so
best.
You're wishing Hack Slash to fail.
No,
on the radio.
No, I'm not doing that at all. I wouldn't do that. I've done covers for it.
Yes, you have. Nice covers. Then they're getting better. Each one gets better. I meant to bring that up.
I meant to kiss
your ass on the radio.
Should I talk about how we came up with the idea of doing those?
Doing the covers?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's important, if you want to, we can talk about it another time.
It was sort of funny. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, okay.
We'll talk about it later, because actually I'd like to try to get Tim on the show and talk about it, because I want to see it from his perspective.
Let's have him on the next one or something.
So, yeah, I'll try to see if next one or the one after, I'll see if I can get him to come over.
Let us do it.
Okay, I guess that's it for this show. This was our first show, so...
Yeah, how you think?
I have no idea. We'll see what happens when we listen to it. I'm sitting on this stool, and it's been really fucking uncomfortable the whole time.
All right. Well, cut us some slack if we suck.
All right. We're going to try to do this weekly?
Yeah, weekly.
Okay, we're going to try to do this weekly. And we'll be bringing it to you on, because we're geeky, new comics Wednesday.
Wednesday, yes.
Yes, Wednesdays of every week. And
how can they get it?
From our website, which is www.crankcast.net.
Yes, crankcast.net.
You probably know that if you got this, I'm guessing.
Well, I don't know. They could. Yeah, I guess so.
Either way, you probably know. All right, anyway, next week I'm not really sure what we're talking about. I got some trailers I want Mike to watch.
Okay.
And we might try a weird experiment where we're actually watching them while we're recording this and seeing if it actually picks anything up in the oohs and ahs that we make while we're watching it. Oh, fuck. What the hell's that?
Yeah.
That automatically qualifies us for mature content, doesn't it?
Yes, the explicit button. We're like a rap group now.
All right. So, come back. Listen to us. We appreciate it.
Where can they email us?
Oh, you can email us at crankcast@gmail.com.
All right.
And let's see, Crankcast, and you can download us there. We're also going to be posting some other occasional silliness on the website that's probably not going to show up in a podcast.
Yep.
And just have a good week, people.
That's right.
All right. We're out of here. Bye.